We now begin the second parak of Maseches Erevin, parak Beis Mishnah Aleph 2:1, and the topic of these upcoming Mishnayos will be how the rabbis set up a special leniency with respect to how the rules of Erevin and Hilchos Shabbos for Hutzar are usually applied, and it's to address a very specific problem, and the leniency here is very limited in scope. The concern is, at the time of the Mishnah, when people were doing Aliyah LaRegel, they were walking from their homes around Israel to Yerushalayim three times a year to come for the different regalim, different holidays. Now, they were coming with their animals, and the animals needed to be watered, so to drink. So the concern was that it's a tricky business to water animals on your way to Yerushalayim, especially if you end up having to camp out on Shabbos, and the water is kept in a well. Now, in antiquity, in the time of the Mishnah, there were three ways in which people got access to water. One is a well, one is a cistern, one is an aqueduct. A well in Hebrew is a be'er, a cistern is a bore. A be'er, a well, is a hole in the ground, and if you dig deep enough, you touch the water table, this subterranean underground water, and then it fills up and keeps on filling up the bottom of the well. So you'll always have access to new water. A bore, a cistern, is where rainwater collects. It's a plastered hole in the ground or in like a cave, and water runs in there and is stored as rainwater. But it's a finite amount, and it can run out. When you use up all the water in the bore, it's all gone. Our Mishnah will be speaking specifically regarding a be'er, a well. And again, we're focused specifically on a consideration that we're having for watering your animals when you're bringing them to Yerushalayim during a Aliyah LaRegel, having to camp out on Shabbos. That's the full scope of it. So normally, a well, if it's 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, which would be standard for a well, the inside of the well is a Rishas Yachid. It has all the requisites for Rishas Yachid. The problem is, on top of the well outside, where you want to feed your animals or give them to drink, that would be a Rishas Harabim, or a Carmelis. And one is not allowed to transfer from the Rishas Yachid, where the water is inside the well, to the Rishas Harabim outside atop the well or the Carmelis. So the rabbis want to set up a way that you could establish the area around the well as a Rishas Yachid also. And that being the case, you'd be able to transfer from within the well, the Rishas Yachid, to a top outside the well, also Rishas Yachid. Now, we finished the previous Mishnah talking about setting up walls and mechitzas and bands and poles and stuff like that. But here, we're going to go to the absolute minimum that the rabbis would allow for this very specific scenario of so the animals should have water to drink on Shabbos as they're going through Yerushalayim. And for that, we're going to employ a special thing called a diumad. A diumad is actually, it's a portmanteau. It's two words smushed together. The word amud is a pillar. We've had that before. The word duo is Greek and Latin for the number two. The same way in English, you see that like in Italian, where you have like a due, and in French you have du. That's the number for two. English as well, you can have a duo, like the dynamic duo, good old Batman and Robin, the dynamic duo. And duo can function as a prefix in English as well, like a duopoly. You could have a monopoly if one party controls an entire market. If you have a duopoly, it means two parties, like Coke and Pepsi or Visa and MasterCard, are controlling a market. So that's a duopoly. Here, the word diu amudin, the diumdin, in other words, it's a double amud, a double pillar. So what's happening there is, you're using two wooden slats that are attached together at right angles to make a sort of an L shape. And you're using those slats, you're sticking in the four corners to define an area around the well. They're going to function as absolute minimal partitions to say, listen, this area is offset from the larger public domain. It's designated as part of the well, an extension of the well. Therefore, it and around it and within the well inside of it are all going to be considered to be a single zone where one could transfer from Rishas Yachid inside the well out to the area contained or defined by those four corners of the Diumdin and transfer there. Again, remember that Mido Oraisa, only Rishas Harabim is where it's wide and open and trafficked. So in the scenario here, you put these four Doomed in the four corners. So now you've set off an area which is no longer wide open and not trafficked. It's now sort of a, maybe at least Midoraisa for sure, no longer which is a Rabban, and therefore you could define that as an extension of the well to make it a place where you could transfer into. Again, we're only allowing this to water animals. If you yourself, one of the pilgrims going to Yerushalayim, you wouldn't be allowed to transfer water out of the well into the area defined by the Diyumdin and then drink there. No, you'd have to go inside the well. For example, we don't let you transfer water out of the well, but for the sake of animals, there's a lot of water, a lot of animals, a lot of need, and therefore we have this sort of this leniency that applies specifically to animals, again, and specifically for Lila Regal, if you're coming to Yerushalayim to do that mitzvah. So that's the backstory, and here the Mishnah says inside, Osin Pasin Libiaros, you can establish slats or boards for wells, Dafka wells, Arba Diyumdin, near in Kishmona, by setting up the four corners with four Diyumdin, these four L-shaped, right-angled, double boards. And near in Kishmona, that will make them look like eight. Why? Because if you have these like four L's, so then from if you're looking from the south, you've got one in the southwest and one in the southeast corner, so it looks like two, because it's an L-shape. And again, if you're looking from the west, you've got one in the southwest, one in the northwest corner, it looks like two. So even though you just have four L's, but they look like two from each of the four sides, so it looks like eight, if you will. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that four and four is all you need. Rabbi Meir Omer Shmona. He says, no, you'll need to have not four posts, the right angles I could describe, the Yomdin. You'll need to rather have eight, Nirin Kishnemasar. It would look like 12 altogether. His idea being that under certain circumstances, which I'll define in a second, just to find the four corners of the area that you want to use to water your animals is not sufficient. You'll have to have between each diumad also a separate, like just flat board to extend it. So you'll essentially, you've got the four corners and one, another flat slat a in the middle of each of the four sides for a total of eight pieces of wood, if you will. But it looks like 12 because from each of the four directions, it looks like you see three. You see one on the left, one on the right, the one in the middle, if you will. Okay. Now, and that's what Rabbi Meir says here, Arba Diyumdin, you have four in the four corners that are doubled. The Arba Pshutin, and four that are not Diyumad, they're not doubled up. They're Pashut, they're single. There's no L shape, but just a flat, you know, a flat board. Now, the Gemara ends up saying, and the Bartender brings it here, that the scope of the Machlokas is not as vast as you might think. Everyone agrees that if you have less than 10 amos, or up to 10 amos, between the edges of the Diyumadin, on each, let's say on the southern wall, if you will, then even Reb Meir is going to agree that the two corners are all you need, you don't need one in the middle. However, past, if it's more than 10 amos between the two of them, then you'll need to add another one in the middle to make it less wide of a gap. Rabbi Yehuda actually agrees in principle that at some point they're too far apart and you'll need to insert something in the middle, but he says it doesn't happen until 13 and a third amos. We'll explain more about that in a moment in the Mishnah. But the idea being here that there's no machlokas if it's 10 or less. Between 10 and 13, they have a machlokas. Rabbi Meir says you'll need to add an extra one in the middle, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you won't. Hold tight for more on the details of that. Gavahan, the height of these diumadin, and as when needed, the pshutin, the simple ones, asar tfachim, had to be 10 tfachim high, because that's always the rule, 10 tfachim, roughly 3 feet high is what you need for any machitza. Verachvan shisha, their width will be 6. This is 6 tfachim, which is the same as 1 amma. It's roughly a foot and a half or so, and roughly half a meter. On each side, they're significant, 6 tvachim, 1 amma, the same thing. V'avyan, and their thickness, kolshu, it doesn't matter, any thickness is sufficient. So 10 tvachim high, 6 tvachim on a side, and if we're talking about a dumad, it's an L shape, so on each of the two sides, it's 6 amos, and then the thickness doesn't matter, whatever it is, it is. Uveinehen kamlo shtei revako shel shalosh shalosh bakar div Reb Meir. Reb Meir holds that the maximum distance you can have between the Diyumadin, and not require a pashut, a simple one in the middle between them, is a total of 10 amos. How does he get 10 amos? Because this is the idea. We're going to measure in terms of rivakot. A rivka, like one of the matriarch Rivka, Imenu, and the word rivka means like a team of of draft animals, like oxen. So you, the standard would be you'd have up to three animals bound together to, say, pull a plow in unison. So that's called a rifka. And we're feeding, we're giving animals a drink. So if it's, we're concerned that if you'd have, let's say, one group of three going in and one group of three going out, so if it's very wide apart, then it's considered to be that, you know, it's two spaces, you just put them in the middle. If it's less than 10 tefachim, then we are less concerned because it's like one end at a time. Okay? So if it's three, the assumption here is, for the rest of this Mishnah, that the width of one ox is 1 2/3 amos. So if you have three of them in a rifka, so you have 3 × 1 2/3, gives you 5. And if you have one going in and one going out, that gives you 10. So that's Rabbi Meir Shita, that up to 10 doesn't have something in the middle. We need to have enough space that the cows can get in and out, otherwise they're going to knock over the post in the middle. But if you have more than the width for two teams of three, i.e. 10 amos, so then you'll need to put a post in the middle, so it looks more marked off. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shel Arba Arba. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's, we don't limit ourselves to the width of the standard three ox wide rifka, but even four oxen. So that would be the case, since one ox is 1 2/3 amos, four oxen are 6 2/3. And if you have two teams of 6 2/3, 6 2/3 times two is 13 1/3. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you have less, up to 13 1/3 almost between one duman and the other, it's sufficiently close, and we won't add a middle post to them. If it's any more than that, you will add a middle post. Kishuros, we're talking about when the whole team, the whole rifka is tied together. V'lo mutaros, they're not loose, so that they would be very wide, want to be tight. Achas nechneches v'achas yotzes. And they'd be measured in such a way that you'd have the team of three or four, and one pair going in, one going out. That would be a little tighter together than if they were going in two in the same direction. Okay, fine. So, long story short, the bottom line is that we are the halacha will be like Rabbi Yehuda. Typically, is the case, meaning you get up to 13 1/3 almost. Simply having the four corners demarked, anything more than 13 1/3 almost between one diumad and the next diumad would require additional posts, as we'll explain more in the upcoming Mishnayos.